a company acquires another profitable firm. Within months, profits turn to losses. The acquiring managers implement new systems perfectly, yet productivity plummets. What went wrong? Everything changed on paper, but nothing changed in people's hearts and minds. This scenario plays out thousands of times across corporate America, and it reveals a truth most leaders miss. Change isn't the problem. The problem is transition. Here's the distinction that changes everything. Change is situational. You move offices, install new software, restructure departments. Transition is psychological. It's the internal reorientation people must undergo for change to actually work. Think of it this way. Your company can mandate that everyone use new project management software tomorrow, but you can't mandate that people stop feeling attached to the old system they've mastered over 5 years. That emotional letting go, that's transition. And without managing it, organizations simply rearrange the furniture while wondering why nothing improves. Transition unfolds in three distinct yet overlapping phases, and most organizations botch it by skipping straight to the finale. First comes the ending. People must let go of old ways before embracing new ones. Then comes the neutral zone, that uncomfortable wilderness between old and new where everything feels uncertain. Finally comes the new beginning, when people develop fresh identities and commitments. Most organizations treat transition like a light switch. Announce the change Monday, expect full adoption by Friday. But transition follows organic timing, not implementation schedules. Like Moses leading his people through the wilderness for 40 years, the neutral zone is where old thinking patterns must die before new realities can take root. You can't force a seed to sprout faster by yelling at it. What looks like resistance is usually grief. That new software doesn't just require learning new buttons, it demands surrendering years of expertise and risking looking foolish. The critical mistake? Dismissing these feelings or debating whether losses are real. When someone loses what mattered to them, arguing they shouldn't care only proves you don't understand, and you won't get commitment without understanding. Smart leaders identify exactly who is losing what. Beyond concrete losses like office space, people lose invisible assumptions that loyalty gets rewarded, expertise matters, stability continues. When these unspoken contracts break, people experience genuine grief, anger, sadness, fear, confusion. The counterintuitive part, dramatize endings, don't just communicate them. One executive swept company manuals onto the floor, holding up a single sheet with core principles. Another staged a funeral where employees threw old policies into a casket. These theatrical moments work because people need to see, feel, and experience endings, not just read about them. The neutral zone deserves special attention. It's simultaneously the most dangerous and most creative phase. Anxiety rises, motivation falls, yet this chaos breeds innovation stable order never could. Henry Bessemer revolutionized steelmaking precisely because he lacked fixed ideas derived from long-established practice. When systems disrupt, people question assumptions they'd never otherwise challenge. The neutral zone feels like suspended animation, a nowhere between two somewheres where change initiatives typically collapse, yet breakthrough innovations emerge. The key is providing structure amid chaos. When a manufacturing plant faced closure, employees called it a sinking ship, encouraging departures and tanking productivity. Leaders reframed it as the last voyage, acknowledging difficulties while emphasizing skill development. Productivity nearly doubled. Same situation, different metaphor, radically different outcome. During this wilderness period, people need temporary systems to replace what's disrupted. Set short-range goals with frequent checkpoints. Review policies for the transition, not just the end state. Build group identification when people feel isolated, like weekly leadership meals or family days mixing workers across hierarchical lines. Consider establishing a transition monitoring team that overcomes the NETMA syndrome. Nobody ever tells me anything. This cross-sectional group takes the organization's pulse, provides feedback before announcements, and counters rumors through grapevine access. The neutral zone isn't a problem to rush through, but a necessary passage where transformation actually occurs if you provide the right support. Beginnings bring new energy, but can't be forced. They must be nurtured. People simultaneously crave and fear them. After the neutral zone, everyone wants to reach the promised land. Yet beginnings are scary because they require becoming a new kind of person, reactivating anxieties from the original ending. Nurture beginnings through the four P's: purpose, picture, plan, and part. First, explain the purpose. What problem are we solving? Don't just sell the solution, sell the problem. Second, paint a vivid picture of the outcome. Moses didn't explain the promised land concept. He portrayed it as a land of milk and honey that engaged people's imaginations. Third, create a transition management plan that's more detailed and person-oriented than your change management plan. Work forward from where people currently are, not backward from where you want them to be. Fourth, give everyone a meaningful part through task forces or problem-solving circles. This participation isn't about democracy, it's about commitment. Quick successes from small, low-risk tasks restore confidence damaged during the neutral zone. During transitions, people react emotionally and symbolically, so small things take on enormous importance. Reinforce new beginnings through consistent messaging, modeling desired behavior, and aligning rewards with new behaviors. Modern organizations face continuous, overlapping transformations rather than isolated changes. One reorganization blends into another, while new systems overlap with outsourcing decisions, creating a complex collage that makes transitions harder to recognize and manage. The three phases of transition overlap constantly. You're often experiencing multiple phases simultaneously across different changes. Like an orchestra conductor, you must track multiple instruments playing different sequences while maintaining awareness of the overall composition. The real challenge isn't the pace of change, but shifts in its acceleration. Humans adjust to escalating change over time, but even deceleration causes difficulties because we've adapted to a certain rhythm. Continuous change demands absolute clarity about organizational purpose, ensuring people understand how their activities contribute to the larger whole. Many organizations confuse objectives with purpose. Objectives are goals to work toward. Purpose is the strategic heartbeat that remains constant when everything else changes. Trust becomes essential during transitions. When people trust their manager, they're willing to undertake frightening changes, just as swimming students must trust their instructor before letting go of the pool's edge. Building trust requires doing what you promise, listening carefully, protecting what matters to people, sharing yourself honestly, and telling the truth. Organizations evolve through seven stages: dreaming the dream, conceptualizing, launching the venture, rapid informal growth, getting organized, standardization, making it, achieving market significance, becoming an institution, emphasizing impression over results, closing in, internal focus while operations collapse, and dying, acquisition, dissolution, or fragmentation. Five laws govern this development. Those comfortable with one phase often struggle with the next. A phase's success creates challenges it can't handle. In major transitions, organizations must abandon what got them there. Painful periods usually signal developmental shifts. Organizations become stability-focused through making it, and avoiding necessary transitions threatens survival. Organizational renewal requires returning to the cycle's start, redreaming the dream, finding a new central idea, recapturing the venture spirit, reviving entrepreneurial energy, and getting reorganized, remodeling to resemble a younger organization. Companies like GE and IBM prove rejuvenation is possible when leaders recognize their developmental stage and act accordingly. Organizational change creates three problematic groups: the wounded, the grieving, and those whose loyalty has been compromised. Leaders focus on departing employees while neglecting survivors who must carry the organization forward, creating grass, guilt, resentment, anxiety, self-absorption, and stress. These aren't luxury issues, they're necessities for organizational health. When organizations implement changes without managing transitions, they merely rearrange furniture without meaningful improvement. The fundamental equation remains: change plus human beings equals transition. Transition management draws on innate abilities leaders already possess. By understanding the three phases and applying appropriate strategies, leaders transform potentially disruptive changes into opportunities for renewal. In a world where 70% of change initiatives fail, the differentiator isn't better strategy or technology, it's better transition management. You can change the org chart overnight, but you can't change hearts and minds on the same schedule. Honor the human timeline. Guide people through endings, support them through the wilderness, and nurture new beginnings with patience and care. Because change is easy, transition is hard, and transition is where the real work happens.